Welcome to our first attempt at a podcast called Faith and Hustle. My name is Garrett Baker.
I'm Brian Hollingsworth.
And I'm Sean Bryan.
And we're going to figure this thing out.
One step at a time.
One step at a time. Welcome to the Faith and Hustle podcast. Today we will be covering tipping etiquette. Tip, no tip, or just the tip? Pause.
Pause or no pause?
According to Bloomberg, you should tip your cleaners as far as your clothes, that kind of stuff, your home, 20%. Hairstylists, barbers, anesthesians.
Anesthetist.
Anesthetist?
No. We're not giving them anesthesia. We're giving them,
you know, facials. What? It's your facial person.
Yeah. What do you call that?
I think it's...
Brian would know.
A-E?
Yeah, I would know.
Here.
Many wrinkles as I got on my face.
I'm not real educated. A-E-S-T-H-E-I-T-I-C-I-A-N-S. You give those people 25%.
What about your, like, barber or something? What does it say
there? Let's see. It says hairstylist, barbers, and those A people, 25%. Private pilots and crew for tours, 20 to 30%. Wait staff and barbers, 20%. The verdict for 2024 is that 25 is the new 15. To be sure, much can be said about the shift from employers to customers in compensating service employees, but in the meantime, tip well, expecting your service worker to make the financial sacrifice for inflation is a jerk move, period. Says Kushner from the Bloomberg report.
So the Pentecostals definitely do not read Bloomberg.
You know?
Are you trying to say that Christians get a bad name about tipping?
True story, as we have this conversation. True story. I was on a fishing trip, guy's fishing trip, and I looked around. And I said, you know, a Pentecostal, a Baptist, a Catholic, and a couple non-denominational people walk into a bar, and here we are.
Yeah, that's a good one, man. That is a good one. Man, I'll tell you, man, the tipping culture has kind of gotten crazy, in my opinion. Because, look, I work in a service industry. Most people do, right? We're just doing a different service. You know, some people... You know, your CPA does your taxes. He's in the service. Your attorney, he takes care of the laws, even though I think attorneys are some of the most worthless people. I'm sorry. I probably should cut that. But they add no value to society, and they only self-perpetuate each other because they're also the politicians.
Well, I mean, the only thing worse than an attorney is an insurance adjuster.
You know.
I'm sorry. We hurricane. Can remember the hurricane.
Yeah. We live on the Gulf Coast, so we're not in love with insurance adjusters either. But anyway, back to what we're saying. Man, I think you just read online the expectation. We are expected to tip, and not just tip a little bit, not 10%, not 15. Yeah. 25 is the new 15. What do you think about that, Garrett?
No, I think it quenches competitiveness and it quenches customer service. If someone feels entitled to a minimum, right? Like, I want to be a blessing to somebody. Like, I want to go in there and I want to have a nice meal. I want to enjoy my wife. I want to enjoy my family. I want to enjoy my friends. I want to fellowship, break bread. Do whatever.
Absolutely.
And I want, at my discretion, you know, to be able to say, okay, this person right here is a 50%er, you know?
For the right service.
Which that's happened, right? But when I get this little kiosk thing that they bring to me and it has a suggested tip on it, like in the whatever, my server was terrible. Right? Had a terrible attitude.
And 15% is not even an option. It starts at 18 and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it frustrates me because I don't get to negotiate my salary.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? And I don't get this minimum expectation, right? Like every customer, right? I don't get to say, okay, my commission is going to fluctuate from this to this, right?
Yeah, so let's talk about some other things. And we're not going to get to where we tip and I want to go back to what you were saying, you know, you feel like the culture is really devaluing, there's a expectation There's almost an entitlement. I want to talk about even when we tip. I'm getting frustrated at places like, and I'm going to say it out loud, at places like Sonic. I'm buying fast food. I'm in a hurry. I want to get to point A to point B. And I'm buying the burger and the fries and the soft drink. And it should be just as much as everybody else's. Because they have somebody walk it out, which actually is a little bit slower than actually going through the drive-thru, I'm expected to pay them, you know, round up or give them a dollar. So now I'm paying 10 or 15% more, and I really don't understand where the value is. Like, what value, like, what kind of service did you give me any different than any other fast food place?
So, well, would you like to round up to the nearest dollar for Uncle Dave's aunt's cousin's nephew's dog rescue and the 23rd
and every Whole Foods and
of the
whatever
Hunger Games.
Else.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like, you're Walmart. Round up yourself, bro. You make a lot more money than me.
No,
you know?
You're saving all this money not paying these employees, making me pay to be your employee.
Okay, here's another one. Here's another one that's a pet peeve of mine. And Lord, I apologize. And man, hey, if y'all disagree with me, go disagree with me
but,
in the comments.
But they don't disagree because we're just, we're with you, buddy.
People are going to rip me for this one. How about this? Like, and I, okay, I've never been a bartender, you know, but I hate, like, hey man, can I grab a beer? You pull it out of the freezer right there in front of you. You pop the top and you hand it to me, and I should tip you $1, $2.
You should get a free shot at tequila just for having to deal with the tip.
Oh, no doubt. Like, I'm already paying $3-$4 for a beer that I'm paying for $1 or $1.50 at the local convenience store. So I'm already doubling the price. And then you're expecting me to pay them. And I always tip them because I feel obligated. But I want to be like, dude, was that really worth the dollar? Because I want to stand over there and I'll hand out 100 beers and make $100. It'll be so easy. It'll be the easiest money I ever made.
So I heard someone go on a rant the other day, said, if I'm standing up, I'm not tipping you.
You know, and look, if you make me a drink, if I order old fashioned, you know, if I order martini, you know, lemon drop, whatever, you know, whatever I'm ordering, fair enough. Or even when I order a bourbon straight neat, like you took the bottle and you poured it into a cup, a glass cup, and you handed it to me. And now I'm going to pay, you know, $7 for that plus another two or three tip. And I'm like, man, it just feels weird. And I value good service, right? I mean, you were telling me, like, I want to value good service, but there's some things that I don't want to feel guilted into it.
Well, no.
Well, I mean, if you buy a new car, you don't give the salesman like $100 for being a good salesman.
No, he gets his commissions built in.
Right.
You know that when I was.
That article was saying that they're adjusting for inflation and they're passing it off. So whose fault? Who's going to take the hit?
It's always the consumer.
The consumer takes the hit.
One way or another, it's always the consumer.
It's always
here we are as business owners going, we don't want to pass that on. So none of us find ourselves in the position. I have an opportunity in one of my businesses to offer a tip, and I don't do it. I have another business where they get tips, and I don't collect it. It's just the tip goes to the tour operator. So,
yeah, and that's another one.
Because I can't bring myself.
So professional guides, professional tours, ski school instructors,
fishing guides,
hunting guides.
Masseuse.
Yeah.
Massage therapy.
Even my hairdresser. So I have a lady who's cut my hair. She's cut my hair for a long time. She does a great job.
Do a great job.
Everybody I know would guarantee it. He's going to talk about my $40 haircut, my beautiful hair.
The flowing locks,
the luscious locks. Yeah. So I get a hard time.
Do you think she would come on the podcast?
I think she would, yeah, absolutely.
Because like actually, I need a good one, you know.
Oh no, actually, she might be a really good person to do it because they're their own business in a lot of ways, and she's worked in a lot of different environments when it comes to she's been a hairstylist for a long time.
Would she tell us that you're a good tipper?
Absolutely, she would. She would tell.
I believe that.
So she would tell you I'm a good tipper because I value her service. There's a couple things I value. Number one is I have no idea what she really charges for a haircut. I don't know what it is. I don't really understand how much I'm tipping.
Obviously, because you said it was $40. Nothing's $40 anymore.
Well, it's 40 or 50 bucks for a haircut. It's whatever I have in my wallet that day, and I don't care. And there's times, sometimes I just go in with a hundy and I just give it to her. And I'm like, hey, just give me a free one next time. And like sometimes I remember, and sometimes she remembers, and sometimes we don't, and that's okay. For two things, because my haircut's not a normal haircut. It's not a high and tight. It's not an easy haircut. It's It's, you know, luscious locks. Like it's Garrett beautiful. Says.
Yeah.
Thanks,
thick.
Guys. Yeah.
Thick.
Yes, it's thick and whatever.
It's Bermuda grass on top of someone's head.
I don't know. That doesn't even sound good.
It's luscious black Bermuda like grass.
Golf, like a green on a golf course.
With lots natural, of effort. Yeah, natural waves.
Oh, all right. So it's not easy to cut. Not everybody can cut hair like mine. But not only that is I'm busy. And I can't schedule something 6 weeks out and necessarily be there. So I can pick up the phone and call with her and say, hey, what do you got over the next couple of days? And she's incentivized to get me in. And she almost always does it. And she gets me in early in the morning, late in the evening.
It's a great relationship.
It's a great relationship. Yep. I'm getting value for whatever. How I might be paying her double, and I don't care. It's worth every penny to me.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that I want to tip. So I think that culture is good. I don't like feeling obligated to tip for things that I don't value. Like, why can't we decrease? What happens when we decrease our tip for something we don't value? Yeah.
Well, why are we tipping on a takeout order? Like when you go pick up something, like say you call.
I'm not.
Yeah, most people, you know, I
do
I'm not
feel so much pressure and obligation.
I feel that's obligated. A good like, point. I feel
because
like,
it still pops up on the screen.
Yeah,
right?
And they're looking at you. They stare at you.
Now I gave it. I gave a tip at Starbucks, cash because I walked in. And got a $3 cup of coffee and dropped a $10 bill in there. My daughter works there, and all of her people are, you know, they split tips. That's the other thing. They split tips. When I'm a coffee shop, they split tips. So that one was fun. Here, you're awesome. You particular barista are awesome. I'm going to give you a $10 tip. Even in my coffee shop, they were all, no, put it in the jar. Because we're going to split it amongst the crew because we all earn that tip.
Yeah.
And that's cool, but you're the one that put the effort into it. So sometimes that frustrates me. And I know there's a lot of traditional, I don't want to call them old people, but the more traditional that have been around and experienced this 30, 40 years ago, they want to tip that person. They don't like the idea that everybody's splitting tips. They want to develop that singular relationship.
Man, and hey, like the older generation when it came to tipping, they were pretty phenomenal. Like, I didn't realize, like, older people will still, like, go and tip the cook as well. Like, who prepared if they enjoyed their meal? And kidding. I never thought of that. They're like, who prepared my meal? This meal was great.
Never tipped a cook.
Me neither.
And I've really said, hey, man, this is amazing. Tell the chef, oh, man, you're blowing my mind.
Okay. Yeah, no, but that's how the older generation did it, you know? It was like, wow. So
they tipped who they value, though.
Yeah.
They didn't go around being expected to be tipped.
Well, that's the whole concept of gratitude.
Yeah, that's where tips came from, yeah. You know, should be gratitude.
It was
them.
Extra.
Like, so, for example, so you were talking about sharing tips, you know, at the coffee shop. And I think some restaurants do, some restaurants don't. Some bars do, some bars don't. But we went to a really fancy restaurant.
I've never been in a bar ever. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, well,
have you ever been in a bar?
Maybe twice.
Before you were 20.
The only bar that I've ever been to is the coffee bar at my church. Yeah. You know,
before I was
amen.
Saved.
Amen. Yeah. Before I was saved. Yeah.
No.
So we're at a fancy restaurant, a really upscale. It's a chain, but it's an upscale chain. We had to drive an hour to get there because they didn't have one in Lake Charles, Louisiana. So we go there. And I feel like when you're tipping your server, you're tipping the server, but you're also tipping the team, right?
Yeah.
Was the food good? Did it come out in a timely manner? Like I don't care if the food was good, but if it took an hour to get to me, come on, man. You know, were the appetizers good? Were the drinks good? You know, were the drinks timely? You know, she's not making those. There's probably a bartender back there making the drinks. So it's a team, you know, effort. And I'm telling you, that team, she was not rude, but she was not great. She was below average, I would say. She wasn't terrible. It wasn't horrible. They took a long time for our drinks. They took a long time for our appetizer. They took a long time for our meal. We were there 2 hours. Now, I was there with people I enjoy spending time with, so it wasn't a big deal. I wasn't frustrated. But the service was subpar.
Yeah.
The food was okay. You know, it wasn't bad. It wasn't great. So I didn't want to tip a lot. But I felt like I'm at a nice restaurant. I need to tip 20% minimum and really 25, you know. Yeah. And I did. I ended up tipping. The meal for four people was $330. And, I ended up tipping $70, $75, made it $400 and something.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, because I felt obligated, not because I didn't have any gratis.
Yeah. So how does that make you feel about that restaurant and going back?
I never want to go back again. Like, I'll go for lunch.
Okay. So let's flip it around. Went to a restaurant. A friend of mine had a financial win. Called me up and said, hey, we're going out to eat. Made a big win, made a pile of money. Dinner's on me.
Awesome.
All you got to do is drive. Pick me up in 40 minutes. My wife was in the gym 30 minutes away. I'm like, hey.
Hustle up, buttercup.
Gotta go. And this is a nice restaurant. Anyway, it was one of those deals where I'm like, you know, I'm not even hungry. I'm just here to celebrate this man's win with him.
Which is awesome, yeah.
I love celebrating. So you know wins. What? Mr. Waiter, you just bring me whatever you feel is appropriate for this meal. Not ordering. I'm ordering, but you bring me food.
Okay.
I'm going to make your night really easy.
I've never done that.
That's one of my favorite things.
Too much control. I need too much control. Yeah. I can't possibly
First of all, you're going to find out if you have a good waiter or waitress really fast, because they're going to either freak out or go, got you covered. Or they're going to play it safe and bring you a steak.
Yeah.
But I got steak that night. Not the point. We had great service. This is one of those Michelin star rated restaurants, just wonderful. And I kind of help glance over, and it's like $1,200 he drops on the table. I'm like, okay, I don't feel like we ate that much. Dude left a $400 tip. We were outstanding.
Got it.
The flip side of it is the food was really good, but I've eaten at steakhouses where it was better. But the service was beyond phenomenal.
Got you.
Which made up for the lack of food. Would I go back there? Absolutely. This service is great.
Yeah. Man, the food and the service equally to me will bring me back to a restaurant.
Friday I went to a restaurant. I had the same waiter that I had for my birthday in October. Right?
Yeah, they don't have a lot of turnover at that restaurant. I know where you went Friday.
So I walk in and we're ordering. Well, we went through our meal and everything, and dessert, he walked and he pointed at me and said, lemon crepes. I was like, yeah.
He remembered.
He remembered. I kind of make a big deal about the lemon crepes every time I go, though. So
mine's the white chocolate souffle, bro.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
Get it started.
Make you slap your mama.
Yeah. Heat the oven up, yeah.
So, yeah. Needless to say.
If anybody's in Lake Charles and wants this, y'all can DM us or you can put it in the comments, and we'll tell you what restaurant Garrett went to on Friday night. It's a
phenomenal place.
It is. It's phenomenal. Locally owned. Yeah, it's amazing.
Great service.
It's amazeballs. Yeah, best fish around, but also best steak.
Yes.
And it's not a steakhouse.
It's not a steakhouse. Lamb chops are really good. So I don't know if I'd say best.
I know the best lamb chops are not at that
restaurant.
So tell
us. So the waiter knew what you wanted.
Yes. Yeah.
So on that note,
so he's above and beyond. Like this dude, yeah. He's a minimum of a 40%er
for sure.
Gotcha.
So there's a breakfast restaurant in Isla Mujeres, Mexico, that sometimes I make it there once a month. Sometimes I make it there once a year. Doesn't matter. We pull up, Luis. Says, hey, Holly, white chocolate mocha? Or he doesn't even ask her. It might have been 9 months since she was there last, and he shows up with what she normally orders for breakfast. Mm-hmm. In perfect English. And guess what? He gets a tip.
Yes.
Guess what else happens after 5 to 7 years of that? When his wife has a baby, my wife brings them baby clothes. It's like we hold the baby on the street.
So they're like family.
We turn into family.
Yeah.
When you turn a customer into family, you got something. If anybody I know goes down there, I think you should go to the Garden Grill for breakfast, or North Garden Grill for breakfast, you know, if you ever find yourself down there.
You know, I think as a society, we have kind of made tipping, the entitlement of tipping almost like, we've done everybody gets a ribbon. There's no winners.
Trophy.
It's a participation trophy. Yeah. I think there is some of that. And one of the things as a high performer myself in the jobs that I've done, I've taken pride in my job, in a lot of different jobs. I want to get paid more, but I can't if everybody gets a participation trophy. Guys, I'm going to ask you right now, Have you ever stiffed anybody on a tip at a restaurant or at a, you know, barber shop or at a bar?
100%.
Man, you have more.
100%. Like, I've explained my reasoning. I didn't leave.
You told them the reason?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I believe that. That's. I can't sit here and talk about them or bash them if I didn't say it to their face. But in reality, like, they need to know that day they sucked. And tomorrow they can do better. Because I need, when I fail at my job, I need somebody to, like, shake me and say, hey, you did a terrible job today.
Well, there you go, Brian. You believe in not giving out participation trophies, but you've never given out a participation trophy.
And look, I'm part of the problem. Evidently, I'm part of the problem. But so, Garrett, let me ask you this. How did the service industry worker, how did they react to that? Did any of them react positively? Let me ask you that.
It wasn't a whole, like, a drawn-out conversation or anything.
It was just a matter of fact.
You earned that. That's what I said.
That's a good way of saying it. You earned something or you earned nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I wonder if they just said, oh, that guy's a jerk or, you know.
No, because the instance that I can really pinpoint, it's a place that I've been to, that I frequent, and they could go and say whatever they want, but other people would say, well, he tipped me well.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
So, and here's one that I was just kind of looking at. You talk about things. I talked about things that bother me tipping. Like, I don't like tipping at Sonic. I do it, but because I feel obligated and I hate it. So I don't go to Sonic as often. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Sonic's just fine. But I go there less often because I don't want to have to. I feel like I'm overpaying for my food. So one of the things that I tip a lot of times, and I don't know if other people do, I work out of town a lot. Garrett, yeah. You work out of town. Sean, in the past, you've worked out of town a ton. The housekeepers. I'm normally not a guy.
I don't tip them.
So I'm not normally not a guy that needs the housekeeper. I kind of just don't want you in there. Like, I'll do my stuff. But sometimes I'll get these ladies that come in there anyway, and they do a great job, man. They straighten up my little mess and put it all, you know, neatly fold my clothes that I had strung over the couch, and they make the bed, and they do the nice things. And I know that, you know, knowing me, I'm going to leave a bunch of trash and stuff to you know, because I brought in Whataburger, and I brought in whatever, and I left my trash right there. So I know my room's going to take a little while to clean up, and man, I tend to always leave them – money on the dresser, like cash on the dresser.
We do that traveling overseas more than stateside.
And I'm talking about like La Quinta. I'm not talking about any nice restaurant. I've never done that.
Yeah,
This one falls in that bucket.
I'm just asking what y'all did. I mean, it's something that I've always done, and I don't really understand why, other than, you know.
So this kind of brings up one of those things. I do more of that overseas than I do stateside. Stateside, I feel like. Okay, so stateside, so this is a great example. Going on an overseas trip with my family recently, the shuttle bus from the parking garage to the airport, the guy's guarding my suitcases with his hand out. I'm like, I got it. I can carry my one bag. He wants a tip.
Yes, and I'm yes.
Pissed. I'm sorry. I'm pissed off. I'm like, and my wife's like, just give him a tip. I'm like, give him a tip. I can carry my suitcase.
I'm a grown up.
It was the principle of it. Like, you tipped the lady last time. I was like, yeah, but that lady was nice, and he's standing there blocking my luggage. And then we got on the airplane, and we fly down there, and we tip like crazy because the attitude's different. The culture's different.
How about the shuttle bus driver to the airport?
This guy's making $30 an hour plus benefits.
It was the guy from the spot.
Yeah, for sure.
Those dudes are not nice.
And so he's making, like, I looked it up. Their starting wage is like $28 an hour plus full benefits. I'm like, I never had a job that good.
Yeah.
And he's hustling me for, pressuring me for a tip. No, sorry. But then we turn around, we end up overseas. And yeah, I'm definitely leaving some money behind in the room. I'm definitely leaving some money on the table. And I don't tip 15%. You know, what's 20% of 1,000 pesos? 20%. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 20%. It's 20%. So 20% of $100 is the same. So I'm going to drop 20 to 25% naturally on that. It's different. There's something else that's different overseas that we don't do here. And this is going to go back to a cultural thing that I think has an effect on it. They don't bring your ticket.
when you're done eating your bill. You have to ask for it. La cuenta, por favor, in Mexico means I'm ready for my ticket. You know why? Because the culture values a meal with your family. So you're going to sit around and talk. You might buy some more stuff. You're going to spend time with your people. You're not rushing out of there to go do the next thing.
You're not trying to flip the table. Yeah.
Right. They don't rush you out. So when you're ready, then you have to ask for the ticket. So a meal is more of an experience. So more time spent, but it's to me, it's a cultural thing. And travel definitely.
And really, the overall service that you get, you think is higher, usually overseas.
I would go so far as to say that it wouldn't be an understatement to say that it is 1,000 times better. It's rare that I go to the same location in the United States over and over again and get the same waiter. It is not unusual for me to have the same waiter or waitress overseas for a decade.
You know what else?
The same one for 10 years.
So when you go to those type of places, you know what else I think it is? It's a genuineness. Authenticity. I care about you. Like, I genuinely enjoy you being here. You don't get that in America a lot. Like, you know, you get some fake enthusiasm.
You feel like you're
you get
a nuisance to the wait to your
that's right. Oh my gosh, I've got 7 tables.
Yeah, like, you know? I'm slammed today or whatever.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
In Europe, like, we went to Greece last summer, and that was like every time we had a meal, it was kind of like it was a whole experience. Like, especially for dinner, it's like you're not. It's not going to be 30 minutes to an hour. You're looking at probably 3 hours. So you're going to eat some cheese and drinks. You know, they're going to bring out this pre-meal drink. And then, like, caps off with this cool yogurt parfait thing with a post-meal drink. And, like...
Oh, a nightcap. Yeah, we don't do nightcaps.
Yeah, no, it was like a whole
like a dessert drink. Yeah.
And, now, the only thing that was weird over there is, like, it's not normal to split the bill. Like, usually they keep the bill together.
So and then everybody else figures it out. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're traveling with multiple couples and stuff,
that's pretty normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but that was like, but they did not expect a tip.
So that's part of, it's included there.
Yeah. It's built into the cost. So it was I don't know. And that's one thing, traveling abroad, it makes you realize how terrible our service industry has become.
Oh, man. I haven't traveled abroad a ton here lately. So so I can't really say anything to that. And the times I have... Man, yeah, I think the general feeling I've gotten, like, I've been to the Virgin Islands here recently, BBIs and what have you, and the feeling, I seek out locally owned restaurants and places like that, and the people that want to serve you. Like, we got guys that drive up to our boat. We do a lot of sailing and sailing in the Virgin Islands, and they'll drive up, hey, you need some ice? They'll drive up with empanadas, homemade. Mm. Oh, my wife made these before our kids went off to school this morning, and they've got them in a little ice chest, and they drive them to your boat in their little dinghy boat, and they come tie up to you. And oh man, and I always tip those guys, man.
But you, like, can even haggle with that price.
Yeah, I could if I wanted to. I don't. Yeah. I pay them their price, and then I give them another, probably double that on top of it. There's you brought it out to me. Yeah. I got warm breakfast that I don't have to cook on this boat. It's so convenient. They'll bring you. You know, they give you flyers. Hey, man, here's some local restaurants. If y'all come over here, we'll give you a 10% discount. Whatever, man. They're so nice. They're so warm. And I feel like they really are genuine. You know, a lot of these places are genuine because they make their money off of service.
Yeah.
It's so much different than in America. I don't want to cover this one. I know we're going late. But last one I want to talk about, and I'm just curious. And then also comment. Man, comment on this, everybody. I want to hear what you have to say. Rideshare. I don't care if it's Lyft, Uber, whatever else. You're out of town. You're on vacation. You're in Vegas. You're in Nashville. You know, you're in New York City. You're taking a rideshare. Everybody has done that, and everybody uses that. And it's a fantastic service at times, man. It's perfect. It's better than taxis, more convenient a lot of times. We use it a lot. But my wife is always feels like we need to tip them every time. And I'm like, we in Orlando, to go to Disney World from Orlando, which is all of 5 or 10 minutes – you know, they already charge us $40, babe.
Well, you have to tip them, because if you don't tip them, they're going to go on their rideshare app and give you a negative review as a customer. And then
can they do that?
The next ride.
That's why you're.
Yeah, the next.
You're a two-star rider.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. So I'm getting rated as a customer?
Yes.
No
kidding.
So then I can go back and then re-rate them bad.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, man. So that's why
all your rideshare people show up late. Because you're a bad tipper.
Nobody wants to pick you up.
I'm not, because my wife always tips. Like, she usually does it on her.
That's why they're always on time and early, because you're a good tipper.
I almost never tip when I'm by myself, and my wife almost always tips. I didn't know that was really even a thing.
I have never used a rideshare app. Tammy does. Tammy has it on her phone.
Man, you might be a redneck.
No, I just...
I mean, you just...
Now, I can tell you about some awkward experiences on the rideshare thing.
No, that's not... The podcast is not for that. We're talking about tip.
Because I want to be like, hey, I'm going to have a conversation with the person, and sometimes they don't feel like talking. So...
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Oh, I've had some funny ones. One of our rideshare things said the guy was deaf. And so we were, like, so quiet for so long. And then the guy started talking to me. And I'm like, if he's deaf, how can he talk to me? And then we started having a conversation. And then my kids are dying laughing in the back seat because Candace threatened them with an inch of their life. And she's like, do not make fun. This guy's going to be deaf and blah, blah, blah. Like, so I'm in the front seat, and the other three in their back. And then we start having a conversation, and the kids in the back are just rolling. It must have been like the dude was a foreigner. His English, he had a thick accent. But he was fine. He could speak English just fine, and he was not deaf at all. But for whatever reason, it came up that way.
Maybe that was to keep people from talking.
Maybe he just doesn't like people.
For the listener that's only running a 5K while they listen to us, and they can do it in 30 minutes,
we've
covered most of the topics except for just the tip. When do you give somebody just the tip? And once we get done with this topic, I think we're going to go a little bit longer, and we're just going to have some fun with it. So you can tune out, or you can stick around for some fun stories.
So times where I give people just the tip, I would say that absolutely any hunting or fishing guides, I always, you know, I don't care what it is that costs it, I give them the tip.
You book that thing 6 months out, you forgot about it.
Well, and even if you take a charter boat, you know, I tip those guys. Like, somebody's going to be
welcome
with me on a day, a tour guide somewhere.
You're welcome on my charter boat anytime.
That's right. Yeah. So
we're going to tip like that.
No. And we'll tip double the cost a lot of times, you know, depending on what it is. Absolutely. I want to, you know, because they're as important to my experience as anything else.
100%.
You know, if that tour guide or if that fishing guide or that hunting guide didn't just really go out there and kill it for me, then I didn't get my money's worth, you know.
Yeah, and you can double the cost of the trip with a tip. You can give 100% tip to a fishing guide and catch fish. Or you can spend $80,000 on a boat, $80,000 on a truck, $500 in fuel, $500 in bait, and not catch any fish, and then break your boat and spend another $5,000 at the boat shop getting a new lower unit.
No, absolutely, absolutely. So,
what's the better deal?
I guess the thing that I'm saying, I give just the tip when I really, really, really value that service.
If I go and get shut out at a high fence ranch, I'm not giving just the tip.
I agree with you. If you get shut out at a high fence ranch, your guide is not good.
Flip side question.
You need to go work at another ranch. Yeah, if it was that hard that you couldn't get your customer at a high fence ranch,
Would you ever work for just a tip? No income, 100%. Tips.
Hey, we do it every day when we're just commissioned, guys.
Yeah.
That's just the tip.
That's just the tip. 100% commission.
Absolutely. Real estate, just the tip. You know, any commission sales job, that's just the tip. I mean, I know it's not, but it is at the same time. You know, you're just working off commission. So I think most entrepreneurs are big, very competitive and big. Hey, I want to get paid for what I do. I want to, you know, pay me on just what I kill. I'm good with that because I'm going to kill, you know. And it's how confident you are. I mean, professional athletes are just the tip in a certain extent. You know,
that's true.
You know.
Until they get endorsements and all that.
They get endorsements.
So 95% of your professional athletes are not getting endorsements. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They might have a little like name, image, likeness deal for a video game.
That's right. They're not getting a shoe deal.
No, no.
Yeah.
It's called
the center for the Chicago Bears.
I have no problem with a professional athlete making a pile of money because it's a fractional cost for me. I spent nothing to watch them perform.
Yeah.
Maybe I spent a YouTube app monthly fee. To watch a football game.
Yeah, ESPN Plus. I'm totally okay.
It didn't cost me that much. So pay them all they want to get paid. Whatever.
My issue is that there's such a wage gap with an educator and an athlete. But that's for another.
Why don't we tip teachers? My wife's a school teacher.
Well, that would be a bribe.
No. Well, okay. Not like tip them at the end of the year then.
Okay.
So, yeah, my wife's a school teacher, and she is – better than average. I would say she's more elite school teacher than I am entrepreneur, no question. And, you know, occasionally somebody gives them on the Teacher Appreciation Day, gives them a gift card to, you know, Texas Roadhouse, and that's much appreciated, or brings cookies or whatever they do. But the vast majority of time, especially for high school, she doesn't get that. I don't know how many – she's a high school math teacher. I don't know how many kids that she's taking calls after hours, but I know it's a lot. And I don't know how many of those same kids are calling her when she's in college because she teaches some high levels, and she answers the phone, and she works out math problems like while we're watching my son play basketball in high school, and she goes above and beyond, and I'm always fussing at her.
So she can work out a math problem without seeing it?
Dude, she'll work out a math problem on a piece of paper right there in the stand. So she will have to see
it. Okay, okay. So I was about to say, she's like Rain Woman.
No, she's not Rain Woman, but she's good. She's good. And, you know, we don't tip those kind of services, and they don't get paid anything.
Well, she has the heart of a teacher. You see her out there every day.
Yeah, it's a calling, no question.
Not just being a math teacher, but she's directing traffic.
At your restaurant she's directing traffic and doing other things, too.
Yeah, doing extra.
At your restaurant, those servers make more than my wife does. She got a 4-year degree.
Absolutely.
And she gives as good a service as they do.
Yeah.
You know, isn't that funny?
Well, no,
what we value as a – it's not even what we value it. Like, we don't tip what we value anymore. We tip what is expected.
Well, it's because we're entitled to education and good service and our extra tip money if we suck at being a server.
Yeah. No, it
I mean, what if I gave 10% tip at a restaurant?
So
would I be a terrible person?
I thought you were going to say, what if you just gave God 10%?
Well, so that's that is so.
Whoa!
So that's a great segue because I do have like a mantra or a motto is I don't like giving anybody anything more than what God requires.
Ah, I like that,
dude. And most people listen.
So you can actually look at a waiter or a waitress, or not even that, even somebody that's giving you the iPad that says, "Would you like to add a tip?" And you go, "Who do you think you are, God?" You can
you
say
want
that.
More than God. Yeah, you require more than God.
Dude. All right, let's flip this around. Can you imagine if they did that at church? Hey, how was your service today?
Ooh.
How's God been? How would you like? Would you like to tip 15%,
18%,
or 20%?
Tithes might go up.
Let me tell you something.
Wow.
If you're a Christian listening to this podcast today, the statistics show that you are not giving God your 10%. Mm. And I hate to say that, and I'm just saying. And you know what? God doesn't need your money, but if you're not at least giving your tithe, which is 10%, which is God's, to your local church, you're missing out on a blessing that is untold.
Boom.
You are limiting your capabilities and your income in life by not doing that. You can limit your server to 10%, but you shouldn't limit God to 10%.
Yeah.
Preach right there. That will preach.
But that's something I've always had an issue with. Right?
Hey, I'm going to do this one for Andy Thomas. If you just start clapping, they'll clap with you after you say something good. He was making fun of me the other night about that. But now carry on.
No, but that's literally the literal problem that I have with it is that how can I be required to give you more, you know what I mean, than I'm required to give God? Like, it doesn't.
Gary, I never thought about it. I never thought about till right now what you're saying. Why would you?
That's the issue I have.
Oh, okay. So what? So give your 15, give your 20, give your 25%. That's fine. But why don't we throw in a extra on the plate? So here's a practice that I've done.
Man, that's convicting.
Even
with our businesses, guys.
Yeah.
Why am I only giving 10% out of my business?
So now we're going to get in from the tithe to the offering, which is different than a tithe. Offering's above and beyond. That's extra.
Yeah.
One of the things I've done for years is I rarely go home from church on Sunday morning with any cash in my wallet. And it was a habit early on. I had $8 in here. From the weekend left over from whatever. There's $8. I'm gonna pull that 8, 5 and 3 1s out and throw it in a plate. I'm gonna empty my wallet in the parking lot on the way into church. And I did start that years ago.
Hey, at 17, $8. I mean, that was a lot of money.
It gets harder when you're 35 years old and there's $200 in your wallet. Mm-hmm. It gets harder.
Yeah.
That principle or that habit. And there's been times when there's been $300 in there. I'm like, yeah, but I really needed to buy groceries on the way home. Yeah. So here's $100, God.
Yeah.
But still, even with that breaking that principle or that little life hack that I had, that's 30% of what I had on me at the time. And it's not, I'm not even looking at the big numbers, but that's a moment. It's a habit. We're creating a habit.
One habit I created at our church was that we have that little coffee bar, right? And I go get a hot coffee every morning. I'm late. So, like, but.
Oh, yeah. Garrett's a fellow second song kind of guy.
Yeah,
there,
third like the song. Right. Mid third song. Like, yeah. So, but no. So I got in the habit that every time I would go, because I go get a black coffee and Tammy mm-hmm. gets one of those cold coffee things, right?
Yeah.
But that little bucket that's over there by the hot coffee.
There's a bucket there?
Yeah.
I never even noticed it.
No. Check this out, though. I would always put $5 in it. My proudest, not my pride, I guess, yeah. The coolest thing that has ever happened is when I noticed that other people started doing it.
Nice. Oh, are we talking about leadership now?
Yeah.
No. I love it, man. I go to the same church as Garrett. I get the same hot coffee as Garrett at pretty much the same time as he gets it, maybe a little bit earlier than him, but that ain't much. And I have zero times tipped or put money in the jar for that coffee.
I do.
I'm a terrible person.
Yeah. No, you're not. No one
but
was
you got
doing
great
it.
Hair.
I do have a great – my stylist is fantastic.
No one was doing it. I love the ministry. I believe in it. So the way I can support it, yeah.
I love that
I give extra, but I can do this every morning. That way I'm buying a bag of coffee, right?
Yeah.
When I put this money in there. So that one bag, I listen in the morning. People don't think I'm listening – that, you know, that this is going to provide a couple meals for this kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, boo, or this family.
Yep.
So,
yeah, that is Principio Coffee, by the way. If you want to go to Principio.com, Google it. It's a great Christian organization. Their coffee is amazing. I buy it for my home as well. And that what he's talking about is Principio Coffee. It's where we get all our coffee at our local church. If you're a church organization out there, listen to that, or if you're a leader in your local church, talk to your local church. Don't buy Folgers. Don't buy community coffee. Buy Principio coffee because it is building the kingdom in Nicaragua.
So amen.
That is just a plug.
As a former coffee company owner who donated a percentage of our missions blend to missions, I mm-hmm. support what you're saying. You're going to drink the coffee. Buy it from something. At least it's doing some good.
Yeah, we're going to have a whole nother podcast on buying from other people who are growing the kingdom and keeping it in kingdom causes.
We went 33 minutes talking about a tip, no tip, just the tip. We got about 15 minutes or so. Let's finish out an hour. Like I said, if you checked out 30 minutes ago, that's cool. This is the bonus section.
The bonus track. All right.
Ding, 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 ding.
So bonus what track. One of the questions that came up, and I'm really, really curious about this. I don't want to say it's serious, but it's important. I want to know, it's two worlds collide, and there's old Far Side Gallery. You know, there's the poodle dog show competition next door to the Falconry Club. and the subtitle said more trouble brewing. So you've got coffee in a cup and new carpet in a church sanctuary. Do you get to bring the coffee into the church service?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Wow. Don't do coffee. If you're worried about your coffee, don't do coffee.
Yeah.
No, honestly.
Our church has a gym floor. We're in a gym. We're still recovering from the hurricane and building projects. Yeah. So, you know, if it hits, so what?
Skating rink.
Yeah, we're in an old skating rink. Yeah. And we're proud of it.
Yeah, I love that.
And we're proud of it.
Sometimes there's some nostalgia when you walk up and you hear the building, boosh, boosh. And you're like, oh, yeah, about to skate me a couple laps.
When we moved in, they still had the sparkly ball like at a disco right in the center for when they did that last skate of the night. Yeah, wow. It was still in there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, and you know what? They had there was a Pentecostal church. It was used right before we moved into it.
And they had the disco ball.
And they had the disco ball in there the whole time. Yeah. The whole time. And now they have a beautiful new building. I'm really jealous. I wish they'd switch us right now.
No, they we're scaling.
Like, no, we are.
I love that place. Like I love the vibe of it. I ain't gonna lie, I was mad when we moved.
Because you love the old place.
I love the old place. Yeah. Because the old place is where like I found my people, you know what I mean? My church community.
Yeah.
So it was like, man, it was kinda like leaving home. And like, am I still going to get to interact with everyone the way that I interact? And I do the same thing. I'm a back row guy. Like I come in third song, sit in the back, and I wait for the same people to come out and talk to everybody in the lobby. Yeah. And now we just have more room and we don't have to sweat outside in the breezeway.
Yeah, but I think to your point, what you're saying is, you know, can we bring the coffee in there? And it's like, man, I think churches in general now, compared, and I'm 46 years old.
And still have great hair.
And still have fantastic hair.
Not a gray.
No, I got a few. I'm starting to get a little wisdom is what I call it. It's actually salt.
There's a bottle for that.
But, you know, I really think that churches nowadays, compared to when we grew up, I grew up Southern Baptist. That's my background. I love the Southern Baptist Church. Man, they're still awesome today. I got nothing negative to say about it at all. But I will say that churches nowadays do a better job at letting people bring the coffee into the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Because when I went to church, it was you're going to wear a button-up shirt and slacks and penny loafers, and you were going to dress nice to church, or at least a polo.
That legalistic approach.
There's a lot of legalistic in there with no talking.
We do dress better for the golf course than we do church sometimes.
So, yeah, you know what? Now that I'm in non-denom, we can dress however we want.
You
got to
have a collar at the golf course.
Yeah, so you got to have. Yeah, so you know, I get both sides of it, but I do think we're doing a better job as the Christian church. I don't care if you're Catholic, if you're Baptist, if you're, you know, Pentecostal, if you're apostolic. I think we're doing a better job of making the most important things the most important things. Not making the little things the big things. I think we did a bad job of making the little things the big things back in the day.
Yeah.
How do y'all feel about it?
No, I'm with you. I agree completely. The why? We're going to go back to this. This is one of those foundational principles. Why do we do anything? We talked about in a recent podcast about wasting time or hustling backwards. Why are we doing what we're doing?
Because that's what they were taught, and they've always done it that way.
So,
and that hustled backwards in the Christian world,
spiritually,
and
spiritually,
and in the Christian body, in the church. What we call the church, which is not any building or any denomination.
Yeah, and it's
like
not.
We hustled backwards so much.
Yeah. It's not a new thing, but I think it was Johnny Paycheck, probably in the 70s, had the song. Was it the Sinner's Prayer or whatever? You know, he comes in the church and he's not dressed to fit the part. And he's like, Lord, you wouldn't let me in this place. You know, I'm just coming out of the honky-tonk. And that's not a new concept.
But that's who should be there.
Now, I agree with that, but at the same time, I also can see the other side of it. Okay, I've been here a little bit. This is the house of God, and we can respect it.
No, I agree with that as well. Yeah.
So there's a balance there.
There is.
Now, we're talking about somebody that at 35 years old made a life-changing decision. I threw away every necktie that I owned and decided that I was no longer going to live by those rules, ever. And my daughter said, well, what if I get married? You going to wear a suit to my wedding? I said, sure. You get to pick a wetsuit or a triathlon suit. But I'm not wearing a necktie. Probably shorts and flip-flops, sweetheart. I love you, but you should get married on the beach because your daddy wants you to.
Boom. Destination went. Am I invited?
Absolutely. I already invited you right now.
Because we can go catch those lobsters tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I know we're totally sidetracked here.
We're going to be the bartenders that don't get tipped.
I got to see this happen in Cozumel, Mexico one time. The mother of the bride, we're getting off a dive boat at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She's like, yep, I guess I got to get ready for the wedding. And we're like, what?
my wife's looking at me. We're like married for a year. Mm-hmm. And she said, yeah, we just paid them like 10 grand and we got 50 people coming to the resort and doing everything. And it starts at 7 and it's 4 o'clock and we're still on the boat. And I got 3 hours to be ready.
Yeah. Why don't we make it such a
stressful ordeal? And I looked at my wife and I said, we don't even have children yet, but they're getting married here.
Yeah. No, that's awesome though. Like, but
sorry, we're totally off.
No, but that's
bonus time.
Yeah. I don't know why. Like, I've always been able to see it from the outside in. Because, I mean, I did grow up Catholic, but my family wasn't devout. We were kind of like
cultural Catholics.
Yeah, we were.
Hey, South Louisiana is full of cultural.
Yeah, no,
Catholics.
We were definitely cultural and Catholic, devout. And we were holiday Catholics for sure. Easter, yeah.
But you know they got those type of, you know, Northeast has cultural Catholics and even cultural Baptists in the Bible Belt. So nobody's exempt from that.
No, so but seeing everything, man, and it's something that like God put on my heart as a young adult is that, man, one of the things in life that I want to never lose is my ability to relate to the homeless dude on the street, mm-hmm, or the CEO of a company.
Mm, preach.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because the church, I think that if Jesus Christ came back tomorrow and didn't look like Brad Pitt Jesus that's on the little Mormon tabernacle stuff, a lot of white folks would have
Jesus
a problem.
To look like Brad Pitt. Like, Brad Pitt's a good looking dude.
A lot of people would have problems with that though. If he didn't. Like they would deny him and they would do all, you know,
so
you get
if,
what I'm saying?
If he looked like an Egyptian dude, you know, they think they'd be upset about that, huh?
They'd probably struggle with it, yeah.
Well,
it's a real statement because like they want to put God in a box. You know, like you can't put God in a box. God is way too big for a box.
He built the box.
He built the box. He is the box.
No, you know what I mean?
Like,
no doubt. But I do think as a church, we do better at connecting with the everyday person. You know, we talk about it. You know, once again, I'm a big Craig Rochelle guy, and I'm going to say that a couple times just because I feel like I need to, you know, let everybody know something. My thoughts in general, but it's, you know, you date the model, but you marry the mission.
Yeah.
And I think our churches do better at, you know, whatever that model is that brings people, you know, help others. You know, we say it in our church, help others encounter Jesus, you know. So whatever that model is, you know, if it's, you know, triathlon races, let's do some triathlon races. If it's, you know, live music concerts, let's do live music concerts. If it's, you know, drag races, let's do, if it's goddamn NASCAR, we're in the South, you know, let's go. You know, the Intimidator, Dale Earnhardt. If we're in Alabama, it's going to be Dale. Yeah. You know, I mean, we're gonna do it that way. And you know, I don't care how we encounter Jesus. Let's meet people where they're at, and then let's let them encounter the love of Jesus. You know?
And that's one thing I do love about our church is that there's not a whole lot of preaching of conformity, right? It's the accepting of Jesus and knowing that like you're going to be able to. There should be you should bear different fruits if you're doing the right
thing. Oh, you got to bear fruits. Yeah. That's, you know, there is truth. There's not all grace. No question. Yeah.
So, bonus time. So, if you've stuck with us this long, you get a little gold here. I'm going to tell this story.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm going to get murdered for telling this story, but it's all right. Baby, I love you.
You got to love it when a story starts off with baby, I love you.
Approximately 15 years ago. Give or take 5 years, I don't remember. I'm with my wife, and we are at a all-inclusive resort south of the border. And we didn't leave. They have the in-resort entertainment for the night, which is, I don't know, flamenco dancing or Spanish singer or I think maybe they're fire ring.
Salsa.
Dancing.
Maybe salsa.
Salsa. Dance. I can't dance. I can't sing. I think that's a song.
Oh, you're as Caucasian as they come,
it's
my brother.
Bad. I did the chicken dance one time, and my kids laughed at me. I haven't heard the end of it yet. So I retired. But we're making the rounds. So they had this new thing. They're trying some new stuff out. They bring the jewelry vendors and the junk store vendors to the resort.
So we're making our obligation just our
obligatory.
Obligatory. Somebody help me with these words.
You're welcome.
It's the intent, people. So we're making our rounds. There's this particular jewelry vendor, and holiness, apostolic background. And I'm not discounting it, just giving context. If you're familiar with that teetotaler mindset on alcohol, and we make our round through this particular vendor, and I believe his name was Ismael with an I. I-S. Ismael was his name. And in pretty good broken English, he said, "You're Pentecostal?" And I just about dropped.
The Pentecostal church in Mexico is not that big, my friend.
I was wearing shorts, t-shirt. My wife was wearing shorts and a tank top. Not the apostolic look.
No.
And I almost dropped my scotch on the rocks. And so I'm not even apologizing for this story because this is so incredible. So the man, Ismael, looks at me and he says, you're Pentecostal. You're apostolic. And my wife.
Did he know by the white legs? Was it the white legs?
It might have been the white socks. You know? But my wife looked at me almost terrified, like we'd been found out, you know, and like we were being hypocrites or something. And I said, at this moment, like, I love God with everything in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, my only response was, how do you know?
Yeah.
And he looked at me, said, I see your spirit. That was a life-changing event. I see your spirit. So it had nothing to do with the way I was dressed, fact that I was on a romantic evening with my spouse in a foreign country, not driving anywhere, no responsibilities to speak of, having a drink with some alcohol in it, not drunk, just I see your spirit. Now, I don't care who you are, where you are, that's going to affect you if somebody tells you that.
Yeah.
And you know, to really, I know we're getting close to the end here. I didn't give him a tip.
Dude. I mean, we were so deep. And you say, I didn't give him the tip. Oh, my gosh.
I did not tip him.
He didn't purchase anything
from him. But
just to say that, though, but how, so the guy, you know, knew who you were. How did he treat you afterwards? Like, he saw your spirit. He knew you were good Christian, loving people, right? He could see you. Like, and look, a lot of times we just want to be seen, right? Like, I love Jesus. And you know what? I also love to wear shorts when it's hot. And I also love to drink a cold margarita when it's hot. And you know, I'm not going to act a fool. And I will tell you about Jesus after two margaritas, probably more so than I'll tell you before those two margaritas. And so how did he treat you? How did the conversation, was the interaction positive in general?
Absolutely.
Or was it judgmental?
No, I mean, it wasn't judgmental in any way. It was, for me, I'm talking about it 15 years later because it changed my life. As far as the way he treated us, he recognized it on the front end, and he didn't see us for what we were or what we were holding or the way we were dressed. He saw our spirit.
So he knew you were a Christ follower.
Yes.
He absolutely knew.
Lost in translation, he used the word Pentecostal. I used the word apostolic, telling a story. I'm not telling you what it was or which one it was for sure, but that's his words.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, lost in translation.
But do you feel like that was almost the Lord telling you, hey, man, you know, you're mine no matter where you are. Like, you were my servant. You were my son. You know, no matter if you're here on the beach in Mexico, like, you know, this is, you know, he, our preacher said it this morning, you know, he wasn't preaching on something like this, but I'm going to take it out of context. But he said, you know, eat choice foods and drink and be merry. You know, it's like, you know, those are the kind of things.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, I mean, we can dig deep on this.
We'll have a podcast.
We probably should, honestly. I mean, because reality of our culture and where we at, where we live, we should really have a conversation about this. I don't have an opinion on it, right or wrong, but I'm telling you that that man saw past the surface level stuff and saw our heart, and it changed the way that I made decisions mm-hmm. from that day forward.
Yeah,
awesome.
I've had experiences where, you know, somewhere's being goofy, right? You know, might have went too far with my libations.
Yes.
And sitting there and praying, like, you know, like, man, God, you know, I messed up. I got wasted tonight or something. And good Lord, it hit me with it. Like, man, you're exactly where I want you to be. Like, you know what I mean? Maybe you're not doing it in a place of vulnerability?
Or?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it meant. It wasn't like you're doing exactly what I want you to do. But
No, clearly. It's like clearly right he says you should not get hammered.
You're right where I want you to be. Like, yeah. So I think that in moments of our life, we're always where God needs us to be and wants us to be, right in those moments. Now, it's not to abuse it and use that as a crutch, you know what I mean? But he knows our hearts, right? And that's something that, you know, the temptations, he knows how, like the devil knows how to get the goat, your goat, right? And
absolutely.
How to bring the doubt and how to do all these other things and how to make you redirect and change all this, your approach to everything. So that's, that's a profound sentiment. I mean, yep. And then the fact you didn't tip him, that just icing on the cake.
We may have bought some jewelry.
You may.
Oh, I bet you did.
I guarantee you, my well-educated, smarter than me, beautiful wife could tell you if I bought her a ring or not.
Yeah.
But for sure.
No, that was cool, a
life-changing experiment. And so look, experience. And so look, so we've spent half way an hour talking time. About tip, no tip, just a tip. But quick, as we wrap it up, takeaways. I mean, we kind of got off into some fun stuff here. Y'all got to see us.
Oh, absolutely.
Raw. And this is why we're doing this. The authenticity of who we are is correct. Important. So you got to see it today and listen to it. But what are some takeaways from you for this podcast from y'all?
For today or for this subject?
For this subject.
Man, that
We can't. We can't share with the audience that we do tape multiple podcasts in one day.
Absolutely, yeah. We do that, of course.
Yeah. No, the tip, I think it's undecided still. Like, there's no right or wrong. I guess you got to move by, a spirit of tipping conviction.
Man, I'll tell you, the couple of takeaways I take away from this is, number one is, man, I need to be generous and need to be joyful. In my tipping and my giving. I'm not going to feel obligated to tip, you know, moving forward. I'm not going to feel obligated. I'm going to tip appropriately.
Sonic?
I'm not tipping in Sonic. All right. So, but also, one of the most profound things that I want to make sure that I say it again is, y'all talked about, you know, we only give God 10. How are we going to be tipping other people 20 and 30%? So I'm going to take away the conviction of, you know, I need to be given the kingdom causes, and I need to do it happily. Because if I can tip a waitress 25%, yet I struggle to give God 10 or 15, you know what? That's uncalled for. God has served me on the cross. I mean, he served me just day-to-day basis. Like, he was a servant king, man. Yeah. And, man, he really modeled that with his life. And I'm going to take that away. More than any tipping, American tipping versus European tipping versus overseas or what have you, I'm going to take away that I need to make sure that my heart's right about giving to kingdom causes, man, and giving to the local church. So
that's amazing. I didn't expect that.
No, I didn't either.
I didn't expect that. I didn't expect any of this to come out. And if you stuck around for an extra half hour plus, you got to hear some pretty interesting things on top of the original topic. One of the takeaways that I have is that we're hustling so that we can show up.
Mm-hmm.
The person that's serving us is hustling so that they can show up and go out to eat too.
Ooh.
Mm.
Ooh. They're hustling just as hard as we are.
Yeah.
Some I don't know their faith.
I got a terrible attitude sometimes.
But I want them to see my spirit.
Yeah.
Dagger in the, you got me.
Yep. I want them to see our spirit too.
And good the me. Only thing I can ask
good night.
Is that at this point, you're going to see our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page. And we have a few other ways to contact us. Comment, like it, share it.
What
do y'all think about this? What did you get out of this as a listener? We really want to hear about it because
absolutely.
We're going to use the information and the feedback to dig in and talk about this some more. So.
Yeah, and look, and give us criticism too, constructive criticism. Like, I want to know how to get better. I mean, what did you like about ours? What do you not like? We value it one way or another, and we appreciate you. I want to just remind everybody that what you are getting from us is our authentic selves. You know, you are going to get some authentic conversations from people that have been there and done that. And, man, we appreciate everything that you do. We hope that you have faith, and we hope that you hustle, and we hope that you succeed. We want all of you to win. Thank you, and appreciate your time. Hey, and before we go, if anybody has an idea, if we struck a chord with anybody about a topic that you may want us to discuss, feel free to comment in the below and just let us know. We'd love to have your feedback.